views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. On today is a Monday, the 11th, on November the 26th, 2018. It is a Monday. We have a live show for you today and a very significant and important one. Hope you all had a great weekend and are ready to go. So at any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation with us, don't hesitate. Give us a call. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number for today's show. And today's show is a very significant one. We're really going to jump into it and definitely need to do that. So, but before we do all of that, we have some administrative things that we need to take care of, and then we'll get into today's show. So everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. Very important that you do so that we can have these overall topics and these shows and bring you some of the information and give you some things to think about to really engage all forms and parts of you. So you can do that by going to Black Talk Radio Network's home webpage, and that is www.blacktalkradio.com, and look for the donation prompt that's there. Hit it. Please give some of your financial energy so this network can stay on air and continue to bring you the programming that you have deemed as being necessary and important. Also, you can support the network by being a member inside of its social media platform known as BTR Community. And BTR Community can be found at www.btrcommunity, and it's for $24 a year, a one-time $24 a year annual membership. Get you access to the social media platform, where is the only place that I post. I do not engage in Facebook, because at those other sites, your overall information has actually been sold. And so I don't want to engage in that. So you could do all of your social media activities at BTR Community, and it supports the network for only $24 a year. Just go to www.btrcommunity, join, and you can post things that about things that you think are need to have more public awareness. You can post things about you. You can post things about your business within reason and have more of a holistic relationship, which is very, very important. So please definitely do that. Also, now's the time to exchange your currency for money. And you can do that at Prosperity Mint. Just go to www.prosperitymint.com. And then email them at, check out what they have in inventory, then email them at info@prosperitymint.com. Say that you're a Tando Radio Show listener. And then when someone gets back to you, please follow the instructions, because what it is that it's not going to be to upsell you on anything, just to explain to you the overall buying process. And you need to know that. Very important. Just say Dave sent you, and someone will contact you when you get their response. And then please follow the instructions, okay? And so that is, and that is only going to be used for that one time in that one engagement, and it will not be stored or anything such as that. Okay. Only if you are going to make purchases, and that you will not receive any, emails or any, advertisements, for that at all. You know the importance of it all. It's why you're calling. But it's a education that, excuse me, there's a necessary education that goes with it. All right, so we're going to get into today's show. Now, I have to say this. This week, I can only do the show today. I have a very, very important presentation over the weekend, and I have to travel and everything else. So I have to get everything in order for that. And so today is the only day that I'll be on, be able to be on air. We'll come back, great creator willing, the next Monday, and do pick up the show from there. But today will be the only day this week that I will be able to be on air. Just really need to get things, especially for the things that are happening. All right. So today's show, here we go. Today's show on the 26th of November of 2018. The grave age of GNW1 has been breached. Taking a sovereign approach is imperative. That's today's show. There's a lot that happened over this weekend that we need to get into with you all. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. There is a full collage of events that are happening that will, I think that World War III has really already happened. Now it's going to be moving into GNW1, Global Nuclear War 1. And so that's why today's show is The Grave Age of Global Nuclear War 1 Has Been Breached. Taking a Sovereign Approach is Imperative is the name of today's show. All right, so let's take a look at what's in the news. And first article I posted from Sputnik News, live update. The Crescent Strait incident, very dangerous provocation from the Kremlin. And over the weekend, on yesterday, there was a major event that happened in the Ukraine. And one of the things that I have always said, that I definitely believe that the overall military confrontation and an expansion of the military confrontation will be in a couple of places specifically around the world, one being in the Ukraine. Significant, always knew that that was going to be a flashpoint, and that flashpoint is definitely has a beaker illumination now that may even turn into a nuclear illumination. Excuse me. Very, very significant events happen. We're going to play some of that. Play some of that in today's show, so you can hear two sides of what happened. And we're going to come back and take a look at what happened and what's going on. Is the reason why today's show. Next article from Sputnik News: Watch the Ukrainian ship seized by Russia border guards after the incident in the Azov Sea. Check out that next article from RT International. The Ukrainian president signs decree on martial law. And also, right now, there is a emergency security council, UN Security Council meeting that is happening in New York over the events in the Ukraine. Over the weekend, the Russian Navy and the Ukrainian Navy actually exchanged blows, actually fired upon each other, and three Ukrainian vessels were seized, and some of them were naval vessels, and they were boarded by Russian special forces, and they took over the ship. There's no way in the way Ukraine can actually stand up to Russia. And then since that time, the Ukrainian president has actually put the country under martial law, has signed a decree of martial law, and today they're having their meetings, and they've been having their meetings with their Senate. And the president is going to also propose a decree to declare war against Russia. And believe me, it has not. They can't stand up in a war with Russia, but that will be a provocation for the U.S. to expand the overall war engagement. And that whole thing is blowing up. So the flashpoint has really, really happened, and it's not a good situation. We'll talk about it. We'll hear about some things and discuss it, and want you to get prepared. Next article from RT International, tense standoff between Russia and the UK, how it developed, and it is still unfolding. But hopefully it will de-escalate, but I doubt that it will. It's going to probably go further, and we'll talk about what happened. Russia reopened up the overall strait so that commercial vessels can be moved through, which was a good move, but the overall de-escalation of the war scenario is only going to grow. Huge flashpoint. There it goes. Here it comes. Next article. I got this one from Business Insider. These are the 15 countries with the most troops ready to fight right now. Very significant. We'll take a look at some of that in today's show. Next article from Business Insider. These are the 25 most powerful militaries in the world. And so that's all of this is subjective, but they play into what today's show is going to be. So check out that article. Next article. This is the actual one of the CNN from YouTube, the CNN, what happened in the Ukraine over the weekend. And then I put from RT what they said, a deliberate provocation in the Ukraine. And so we're going to play them both so that you can hear it. Next article from RT International. Ukraine puts army on full combat alert after naval clash with Russia off the coast of Crimea. Check out that article. Next article as well. Created out of thin air, Kiev West invented the Azov Sea issue to pressure Moscow. Yep, definitely see that as part of it. Next article. This comes from Chinese publication, and it's Jinghan Net. China, and Cuba pledge deep military ties. We'll take a look at that as well. So next article, that's huge. This is super big. Next article comes from CNS News. Ukraine president calls for martial law, citing Russian aggression at sea. Check out that article. Next article from Taz, and this is a Russian publication. Move this down. Oh, shoot. Oh, come on. Move down. Okay, so chemical mines used by militants to shell Syria in Aleppo, Russian NBC troops. So next article. And over the weekend, there was actual chemical weapons use inside of Syria in the Aleppo area. So next article, got this from Reuters. Scores poison in Aleppo gas attack. Syria and Russia blame rebels. So that scenario is back on the table, and there it goes. So check out that article. Next article, this one was from L.A. Ramon. Posted this. A time traveler claimed to know who will replace Trump as president. So, and it's funny. It's got a picture of Trump pointing up at the sun, looking at it with a naked eye when it was having the solar eclipse. I just thought that was so hilarious when that happened. Next article, this comes from the Syrian Arab News Agency. Russia MOD, ministers of defense. Rocket shells fired on residents' neighborhood in Aleppo filled with chlorine gas. Russians said that, and it was actually people that were injured. From this one comes from Cerebrally Naive Injured. Injured in toxic gas attack in Aleppo, reported. Says, check out that article. And this article, next article, got this one from Defense One. Thanks to my man Carlos, sent this one to me. Defense One, bleak assessment of war with China and Russia, the uncertain future of C-wire at the border. GOP dodges debate on Yemen war and a bit more. All of this kind of goes together. The whole war scenario is definitely nothing is a coincidence blowing up. Next article got also from the Syrian Arab News Agency. Al-Nusra terrorists deployed 50 missiles modified by French experts to carry chemical weapons payload in Idlib. So check out that's going to this whole all of these things are happening right now. Syria is totally in a bad position, but I'll talk about that as we get into today's show. Let me get through some of what's in the news. Next article from the South China Morning Post. Oh, big ups. Thanks to my man. Thanks, L.A. Ramon, for sending that article. I didn't say that real quick. It was running through. And next article from the South China Morning Post. Jinping and Trump could go either way, but either way, it's bad. their summit could go either way. So, so true. Next article from Global Times. Listen, Jinping, which is the celebrity figurehead president of China, to visit Spain, Argentina, Panama, Portugal to enhance bilateral ties to G20 cooperation. Panama, Argentina, Portugal, and Spain is where the president of the celebrity figurehead president of China is going. It's all for the war scenario, in my opinion. The overall war scenario of geopolitical prevalence, economic prevalence, military prevalence. And they are gaining, they've already taken the world. So check out that article. Next article comes from Spanish, check this out. Spanish leaders to enhance economic political ties with trip to Cuba. Why is this? Because remember, the celebrity figurehead Cuban president went to Moscow, Beijing, and then going to North Korea, then going to other countries. This is all of these deals are being made, and they're going to have an adverse effect on the overall continental U.S. Next article from Military Ties. Constitutional questions emerge about expanding roles of troops on the U.S. soil. Remember last week that the celebrity figurehead Trump gave authorization to use lethal force by the military that is down at the border. And that overall lethal force is also going to extend, in my opinion, is going to be extended to the very, very streets here in the U.S. And how they're going to bring about that is going to be in a very mixed way, but they will get it because they have a plan. Check out that article. Next article from RT International. U.S. Border Patrol repels migrants with tear gas after Mexican crossing closure. So the overall confrontation at the borders has started over the weekend, which was met with rubber bullets and tear gas. And don't think that it's going to end there. So check out that. Next article from Veterans Today News. And the article, terrorist gas in Syria caught. U.S.-backed Idlib's terrorists used chemical weapon rockets on Aleppo. So they were caught. That was the overall side that was sponsored and supported by the U.S. And as the U.S. is supporting Saudi Arabia in Yemen, and all these other things, which means that they are complicit in everything. They actually want the overall of things that you're seeing to happen in a more profound way, but they want to stand back on the sides and kind of insulate themselves, which they can't do it. And I'm going to tell you, it's not just the overall government of the U.S. The citizenry of this country is going to be held to bear the overall brunt of that failure, as well as the people of the world. Because that's where the trick and deception is, that intention of it all. So check out that article. Next article from Strategic Culture. Congressional mandate. New report urges massive U.S. military increase. So check out that article. Why? Because the war is happening. Next article from Al Jazeera. WikiLeaks founder Julian Strange. What's wrong with me? Charged in secret court filings, and there may be actual engagements where Julian was actually arrested and taken out of Peru, and have actually been transported back to the U.S. under arrest to stand trial in the U.S. That is some things that could have been happening and probably will be made known later this week if that was true. I haven't been able to vet that, but you could see from this article that is the overall move, and it probably is starting to happen there too. Check out that. Next article, got this from The Guardian. Oops, I didn't need to pull it up. One second, I made a mistake. And it says, this is from The Guardian. He has moved incredibly quickly. Mueller near Trump's endgame. So check out that article, and I will say this. Don't think whatever Mueller has on Trump is going to be relevant, because when they move into this overall war paradigm, it's nothing that you can do to that overall so-called sitting CEO. celebrity figurehead CEO in a time of when that overall CEO actually becomes the commander in chief. The CEO only becomes the president, celebrity figurehead. They always talk about he's the commander in chief, not, or she's the commander in chief. They're not the commander in chief until there is actually a war, and there will be a war. So check out that article. Next article from, and I wanted to throw this one in because what not a coincidence it is. And this happened a little while ago. This isn't happening new. This is an older article. What I mean older was this year. But this is from Business Insider. A devastating shipyard accident appears to have sunk Russia's effort to save its sole aircraft carrier. So check out that article. Goes along with what's going on. Shows you it's really here. Next article from Cerebrally Naive Network. U.S. shut down major San Diego border crossing. Check out that article. Next article from Criminals Nothing But Criminals, commonly known as CNN. Power outages and bank runs. Here are the cyber 9/11 scenarios that really worry the experts. This, and I'm going to tell you, this is what some of these scenarios definitely will be faced by you and I here. Very, very significant. So check out that. And as we move in this war paradigm, here it comes. Next article from Wired. The Hail Mary plan to restart a hacked U.S. electrical grid. And I don't think it's going to work. Check out that article. Next article from CNBC. Where to put your money in 2019? It is not U.S. stocks, according to Morgan Stanley. Agree with that. So check out that article. And next article from RT International. Designer, Baby Steps. World's first genetically edited children born in China. World's first genetic edit, children born in China. That's where things are going. These next couple of ones are extremely, extremely important, and they all chime. We're almost done. Here it is. Next article from Press TV. India's Navy chief is in Russia despite U.S. warnings. India's Navy chief is in Russia despite U.S. warnings. Next article from Press TV as well. China and Japan signs 24 deals amidst trade war with U.S. Last one, Press TV. Japan vows no U.S. base if Russia returns disputed isles. Japan has made their deal with their side as Germany and France, Nicaragua, Panama, Venezuela, Mexico, all of these countries are all made their real. India, Turkey, the EU, have all made their, the UK, France, I already said that, all made their overall alliances and deals. And they're dealing with the adversaries of what would commonly be referred to, what the U.S. is seeking to establish or to maintain its overall military, economic, and geopolitical hegemony, which has been completely shattered. So that's what's in the news, and we're going to get started in today's show. But before we get started in today's show, I just want to say thank you to a great, great friend of mine that made the great transformation yesterday. And Taylor, absolutely love you. Still here. Greatly appreciate all that you've done for me, and will miss just the ability to physically speak with you, but never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And really do love you, sis. Super, super strong, super strong. Let me just real quickly tell you a little bit about my friend Taylor. I never met her, never seen her. Spoke regularly on the phone with her. I was actually in a think tank with her. She's actually been on the show, but she's real, real, very, very quiet. She's actually been on the show a couple of times. And my buddy Kevin had a great, great think tank, and he's with just some of the smartest individuals with very little training, but great, great in different aspects. Some of them had extreme training. You know, Kevin knows a whole lot from a lot of things that he's done, and Taylor knew a lot of things from which he done. But this sister, their overall ability to discern was so keen and so sharp. And she is always so presently wise and presently sound, and just a true warrior, and just one of those individuals that you always want to have the ability to call. And every time I called, Taylor, it's to seek wise counsel. You know, I think there's four categories of people sometimes that you use. And I put it this way, it's four friends. There's the wise that you call. There's the individual that you call for direction. Then there's the individual that you call for confirmation. And then there is, excuse my overall, but then there's the fool that you call. You should always have those four, I think. And the key is that, and the reason why you want to call the fool is because one of the most important things, the fool is the most important one, because they will tell you what not to do. And I don't say that from the standpoint of saying that this individual is insignificant at all. They're extremely significant. But the key about the whole thing is that sometimes you have to be able to distinguish when the fool has become the wise and when the wise has become the fool, or the roles interchange. So it's not always just stuck in one way, unless one person is uniquely stubborn in their talent. And so every time that I call Taylor, she's always fulfilled the wise side of that conversation. And I will greatly miss it. So thank you, sister. And the promise of peace is eternal. Enjoy, grow, resonate, and we'll see you. And we'll see you soon. So just wanted to say that. And so now we're going to get into today's show. At any time you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. Okay, so let me, what I want to do is I'm going to post inside of the chat room. Want you to hear what happened in the Ukraine, get two different assessments. I have the Russian assessment and then the U.S. assessment. So we're going to go with the U.S. assessment from Cerebrally Naive Network so that you can hear it. I guess that there is some reporting on this, but the overall devil is always in the details. So I'm going to post this, and Scott, it's 2 minutes and 33 seconds. Scott, if you would just play this, and then I'll post the other one to hear the other sides, and then we talk about this and jump into today's very, very important show. So I posted it, that one there, Scotty. If you would, we'll play that, and then if you can, if not, Scotty, I'll play it. Oh, there, Scotty. Okay. Give Scotty a little chance to cue that up, and then the other one is the same amount of time. It's only 2 minutes.
What could be a major escalation of tension between Russia and Ukraine is developing right now off the coast of Crimea. The Ukrainian Navy is accusing Russia of opening fire and taking three of its vessels. It's all happening around the Kerch Strait, which sits between Russia and Crimea. Now, earlier today, Russian authorities closed off the strait, which typically sees quite a bit of traffic. CNN senior international correspondent Matthew Chance is joining us live from Moscow. Matthew, what more are you learning?
Well, as you mentioned, this is a major escalation, potentially, because you've seen Russian forces, according to the Ukrainian Navy, fire upon three naval vessels and then board them with a raiding party consisting of Russian special forces. The Ukrainian military says at least six of its naval personnel were injured in that confrontation. And it comes after another incident, which we've got video for now, which happened earlier in the day, of Russian patrol vessels missiles trying but failing to intercept a number of Ukrainian vessels as they moved from the Black Sea through that very tight Kerch Strait into the Sea of Azov, where all these confrontations are currently taking place. One of the Russian ships actually rammed a Ukrainian naval tug, and you can see in that video there that tug in front of you and the Russian vessel approaching it eventually collides with it, but they weren't able to intercept them and to board those vessels. There's been another incident which has followed that, which has led to an actual firing on Ukrainian vessels, and so it's an immensely volatile situation that's unfolding in the strategic Kerch Strait, this strip of sea between the Sea of Azov and the Black Sea, between the Crimean Peninsula and mainland Russia. There's been reaction from the Ukrainians, of course. They've condemned it. The Ukrainian president has convened an urgent session of his war cabinet, and we're going to expect some pronouncements from that in the hours ahead. It's still in session now, even though it's well after, 2 o'clock in the morning in Kiev and in Russia at the moment, or approaching that time anyway. And there's been reaction from Western institutions. President Trump is said to be monitoring the situation. That's according to Sarah Sanders talking to CNN. And NATO, the Western Military Alliance, has issued a statement as well, saying it's monitoring it and calling for de-escalation and restraint in that, as I say, very worrying development taking place between Russia and Ukraine on it.
Dave? Yeah, back on, Scotty. Thanks, Scotty. Okay, that was the U.S. so-called portion of it all. And I hope you were able to hear some very distinctive things. And, of course, it's always going to be lopsided. So you heard that. So some of the things – well, I'm going to play the – I'm going to post it here, and Scotty can play it. Just 1 second. Scotty can play. This is what Russia's overall RT International is saying, and this one is the same amount of time, is real short, 2 minutes and 39 seconds. So hear this, and then we'll come back and talk about this. Very important. Here we go. 1 second, we'll post this. There you go, Scotty. And very important, significant things, because this is unfolding into
people are enjoying it. People.
Closed its territorial waters near the Crimean Peninsula after Ukrainian Navy ships entered in what is being described as a deliberate provocation. With more, here's Igor Zhdanov.
Really, geography is key here. A, everything is happening, as you've just mentioned, right off the coast of the Crimean Peninsula. That is the main factor. So what's been happening is the Ukrainian naval ships have been going from the Black Sea to the Azov Sea. The shortest route is through the Kerch Strait. Russia, that considers Crimea, the Crimean Peninsula, its own territory since the 2014 referendum there, it also believes that the waters of the Kerch Strait Russian too. So Russia has been citing international law, the certain articles of the UN Charter, for denying the right of passage to Ukrainian ships. Have a listen.
Three Ukrainian Navy vessels crossed the Russian border and illegally entered temporarily closed Russian territorial waters. They have not provided the mandatory advance notice. They are not on the shipping route schedule. They're not complying with orders and are carrying out dangerous maneuvers. The Border Service of the Federal Security Service of Russia is taking all necessary measures to ensure shipping route safety.
Now, Ukraine, of course, never recognized Crimea as part of Russia. Therefore, it considers the waters of the Kerch Strait theirs. And so, ironically, perhaps, Kiev has been citing also the articles of the UN Charter, saying that they do give them the right of passage through those waters. So right now, the situation is a bit of a stalemate, especially after a statement like this from the Kiev authorities.
Contrary to the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea and the treaty between Ukraine and the Russian Federation on cooperation on the use of the Azov Sea and the Kerch Strait, Russian border ships carried out a frankly aggressive action against the vessels of the Navy of the Armed Forces of Ukraine.
So right now what Russia has done, they moved in a civilian tanker over there and they just positioned it right across the strait. And so it is physically blockaded. Nobody can go through in either direction, not just these three Ukrainian warships, but also civilian vessels as well. Right now, again, it's a stalemate. The two sides are just sitting there looking at each other, just having a Sunday like that.
Okay, so you heard the two sides, and just give you my overall take of what's happening is very significant. I'm not surprised that this is happening. I actually said that this would be happening, and one of the flashpoints for in part of World War III, and I will tell you that World War III may have not have been declared as of yet, but it has definitely started its overall advancements in advancement with military force as well. World War III has already started. And so this is actually going to be a flashpoint, in my opinion, for GNW1, Global Nuclear War 1. So there's no way in the world that the Ukraine can stand up to Russia, but they're not going to stand up to Russia by themselves. And just to give a little background history on this is that the Crimea was annexed, and then there was a Russian reformation to have Crimea back under the overall control of Russia after the annexing in 2014 was the annexing.
Hey, Dave.
And so this, yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, there was a referendum vote by the people who live in Crimea of whether or not they wanted to, I guess you could say, rejoin the Russian Federation or what have you. But also remember that there was a Russian-friendly president who was democratically elected, and then there was a coup. And that's how you got the current president of Ukraine.
Right. That's exactly right. And actually what what happened was, and it actually goes back to Gaddafi as well. Gaddafi was a significant part of this whole thing. What happened was that Gaddafi in Venezuela was very, very significant in the overall overthrow of the elected government inside of the Ukraine. Here's what happened was that when Chavez had wanted to repatriate its gold, the U.S. and France took it upon themselves to say no initially, and then they said, all right, well, we have to, and then they were going to start that overall process of giving the gold back. Not too long after that happened, there was the invasion of Libya, where they stole hordes and hordes of gold from Libya. And then there was also the coup sponsored by the U.S., on the Nazi side with Nazi supporters and sympathizers, or you might as well say Nazi, straight out Nazi themselves, to have a coup inside of the Ukraine and seize and take over power. And that exactly happened, and the overall former celebrity figurehead president of the Ukraine had to flee to Russia. And when that happened, in that overall engagement, 33 tons of gold was taken from Crimea, was taken from the Ukraine and sent to Chavez, as well as Libya and Gaddafi's gold. So in that overall engagement, immediately Russia, it became a point where Russia was going to, and it actually went back to the Olympics in 2000 when they bombed the train station. We had that overall earlier in this month or last month, talked about that. At that very, very historic battle, the Battle of Gibraltar, I believe it was, in China, Russia, where they lost millions of people fighting off the Nazis. Well, the Nazis had reasserted themselves with the support of the U.S., which the Nazis have always been supported by the U.S., outside the country and inside the country, because that's the overall part of who the overall corporation really is. And so when that happened, Vladimir Putin moved troops and assets on the Ukrainian and Russian border and actually engaged and started to support a rebel pushback of the overall Kurdish government that was there, and that confrontation has died down, but it still lives up to this day. But what was significant, what Russia did do, was then they annexed Crimea. Basically, they invaded Crimea, took it back, went to the overall military post that was there, tanks went through it, took it back, and now Crimea in the Ukraine was a part of the Soviet Union before it broke up in the 90s. And the Ukraine is significant because of its strategical importance for natural gas and for food in Europe. The overall gas lines that's happening in part of the fight that's going on in Syria, the Nord Stream 2, and the overall fight for Syria, part of that overall pipeline that's going to go through there for oil and for natural gas, leads through Syria into Russia, through the Ukraine, and into Europe. And actually, Russia turned off the Ukraine's gas. When they turn off the Ukraine's gas, when they invade, they got to turn off Europe's gas as well. So this whole thing is now a battle of resources, and it's huge strategical resources, because the Black Sea, the Caspian Sea, and all of those areas are strategically important for the development of resources of natural gas. So this is the reason why they're fighting in Syria. It's all part and parcel of the overall global expanding of World War III that's going to move into direct military confrontation that's going to extend into global nuclear war one. So once Russia had annexed the actual Crimea, there, and the thing about the Crimea is a strategically important position because of the resources, is resource rich, is port rich, and not only that, that our Kerch Strait that's right there is very narrow, very small, and they wanted to control that. You control that. Whoever has Crimea controls the Azov Sea and the Black Sea. And they didn't, and the Black Sea is significant for the Russians because they don't, you know, that's a critical place for its overall naval engagements. If you cut off the Black Sea of Russia, you cut off their overall naval capabilities to fight a war. Very, 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 very significant. So, with the backing of the U.S., and there was actual U.S. troops on the ground in during the coup in the Ukraine. Then there was actual U.S. troops in the overall confrontations with Russian soldiers and Russian rebels against, with fighting alongside of the Ukrainians. It was actual U.S. troops that was on the ground, that was there, and engaging in military combat roles. And so that kind of died down, but it's being is going to re-spark. We knew it would. So now, there was a referendum that the Crimean people was placed to them if they wanted to be part of Russia or be a part of the Ukraine. And they had to vote. They said they wanted to go back to Russia. Most of them there are actually have Russian ties. They have more Russian ties than they have Ukrainian ties. Ukraine itself is split between sectors that have Russian ties and, you know, ties that the Russians don't want, you know, that doesn't have Russian ties. So there's a big split, and the Ukraine is strategically important because of its over, is known as the breadbasket of Europe. It can feed Europe. Very, very important strategic importance. So for the overall systematic control, is worth fighting for, and the fight is really, really on. So over the weekend, that's straight. Now, the Ukraine has never acknowledged the referendum that Russia had in Crimea. They still say that Crimea is theirs, but they're just not fighting for it. So that overall strait, they're saying that that's their territorial waters. Russia says that is theirs. The UN says, well, you both have a claim. And over the weekend, what happened was that there was, the Russians said that the overall Ukrainian Navy, which, let me just really quickly show you this article that I posted. And it was before this event actually happened. And what happened was that, and this is from Sputnik News. Let me pull this article up for you. But let me just, before we do that, I'm going to tell you what happened and then get into it. So, ports are extremely important, ladies and gentlemen. Extremely important. Ports are extremely important. So, one second. Okay, so over the weekend, Russia said that there were Ukrainian naval vessels that had actually infringed on their overall Crimea's waters, and they sank that whole strait is there, and they weren't scheduled to be there. They didn't ask for permission to be there. They were asked to leave, and they didn't leave. So what the Russian did, what Russian Navy did, was they started to actually push them out and actually collided. One of their naval vessels collided with a Ukrainian naval tug, and it actually rammed it and pushed it back. Well, the overall engagement, it turned into where there was actual air support that was called in. They were they fired upon the Ukrainian Navy ships as well. The Ukrainian ships fired back at Russian ships, and it was a battle. And at that time, the Ukraine had called up all of its Navy and to have them to move towards the overall battle, the theater of battle with the Russians. And they know they can't beat the Russians, but they still did it. And then in the interim, the overall shooting that they had, the physical confrontation, military confrontation that they had, Russia actually boarded and took over three vessels of the Ukrainian. Some were naval vessels of the Ukraine, Navy ships. They actually had their special forces go on board and overtake and overrun the overall ships. And then what they did is they docked them in Crimea. And so they have the individuals. They took the naval personnel in custody. I guess there were some that were injured, and so that turned into an international, is turning into an international incident. And one of the things that Russia said during the overall shooting between them and the Ukraine is they told the U.S. do not interfere or else there will be major consequences. And so the U.S. didn't interfere, but the U.S. has sent up reconnaissance planes. They are well aware what's going on, and actually there were meetings in the U.S. in regards to it as well. The U.N. is involved. They're having Security Council meetings as we speak right now, and if there's any update, I will let you know. So with that, overall, the Ukrainian president called up the overall military reserves, put the country under martial law, and actually were actually called this, what they would have their Senate come into session to discuss possibly a presentation that the president, that their celebrity figurehead president would have in declaring war against Russia. Also, they reached out to the U.S. and to NATO to say that, hey, will you come to our defense? And what they said is, I don't know quite yet what was said, but I definitely think that the U.S. is actually nudging and instigating this whole incident, and I think it's definitely going to happen. So that's a brief run as to what happened. Now, Russia had cut off the overall strait, actually put a large tanker in that strait so no other naval vessels or any other commercial vessels could enter the Azov Sea and prevent. They blocked it. They have since removed the overall block, but will only allow commercial vehicles to vessels to move through the overall strait into so that trade routes can be re-engaged, but no naval vessels outside of Russian naval vessels will be allowed to move into that strait. Will that be challenged? We'll see. So that is the update on what happened last night, and I kind of do anticipate that they're going to declare war. Even if they don't declare war, they're going to have a military incident that is going to be an act of furtherance in declaring war. So, and this is all, in my opinion, is being instigated by the U.S. So now, before the incident even happened, days before the incident even happened, why? Because Russia always kind of puts out, before the U.S. tries to do something, they put out what their overall plans were. So there was an article created out of thin air in Kurzweil, Western Kiev and West invent Azov Sea issue to pressure Moscow. The contrary around the Sea of Azov has been created out of thin air as move this down as curve and Western backing countries Kiev, sorry, as Kiev and Western backing countries continue to search for new ways to apply pressure on Moscow, the Russian deputy foreign minister said. The sea topic is being circulated in the information space deliberately and laboriously. So what are Russians saying? We know what you're about to do. We know what your intention is to start a confrontation. See, the U.S. is trying to get a war started in the overall Asiatic, in the Eastern Europe arena or theater, because they need this war to start, okay? And so they're going to try to invoke NATO. Now, one of the things that Russia said in the past is that the Ukraine ever tried to become a part of NATO, they would invade NATO. I mean, invade Crimea. And I think, excuse me, not Crimea, they would invade the Ukraine. If they try to make a bid to become a NATO nation, Russia would immediately invade the Ukraine. So the article goes on. The current Kiev regime, in coordination with its foreign patrons, has found another anti-Russian theme created out of thin air. But this was expected, as Crimea issue is no longer perceived as a hot topic and an instrument of applying pressure on Russia. Why? Because they took it back. And that's the same thing they're going to do with the Ukraine. Keep pushing into Ukraine. Russia will invade the Ukraine. So they simply need to find brilliant, fresh topics. And it goes on. In fact, the situation in the region is so not particularly interesting of our so-called Western partners. What really is important for them is to find a new pretense for attacking Russia and tightening the anti-Russian sanctions. The Russian Foreign Ministry also warned Kiev in a statement on Wednesday. That was last Wednesday. Against attempts to revisit the status of the Sea of Azov as inland waters shared two countries in violations of international law. The tensions between Russia and the Ukraine in the sea have rose over the years after the Ukraine designated two Russian ships. After the Ukraine detained two Russian ships in the port called in Russian Crimea, which the Ukraine considers as its territory. Russia described it as a move of maritime terrorism and ramped up patrols in the sea, and prompting the Ukraine to accuse Russia of illegal searches. Now, here's what's happening. Why I think the Ukraine will actually declare war on Russia, because the incursion and seizing the overall vessels is actually a blockade, and they're going to say, "Hey, there's a naval blockade," and the naval blockade is a term for is an actual act that is a war act that can actually invoke declaration of war. They're going to use that, and they're also going to use the seizing of the overall naval vessels, in my opinion, for that as well. Is it a smart move? Absolutely not. It is a premeditated move, of course. It is a move that they're actually being instigated to do by their handlers, the overall U.S. itself. The article goes on. The crisis escalated in October when the Ukrainian parliament passed a drafted law authorizing Kiev to expand maritime control by 12 nautical miles of its southern coast, allegedly in an effort to counter smuggling in the Black Sea. See, they always give you a false and lying reason for what they're doing. They're always going to say, well, we're doing this for your best interest, and when actuality, that's just the overall cloak in the disguise. They're going to tell you that, hey, we did this, we created this for your benefit. This is for you, and it's absolutely not. The dispute has brought attention to the European Union. The EU neighbor policy commissioner said during a trip to Kiev that the issue was high on the agenda. So they know now that this overall Ukraine and Russia strait is the overall flashpoint. And I definitely see now, this was from last week on Wednesday, and then you had this incident this weekend. What does that tell you? The Russians were absolutely right. They knew that the Ukraine, by way of pushing from its Western patriots and foreign patriots, meaning the U.S., is trying to provoke confrontation. And it is definitely going to, it is unfolding and happening now. And this is definitely, in my opinion, is going to expand into major, major, major military confrontation. I definitely expect that even if they don't, if this doesn't, what's going to happen, the U.S. is going to use this as a pretext to give even more sanctions and try to have more overall direct hostile confrontation with Russia. So Russia is going to say, you know what? The Ukraine is too big of a problem right now. We might as well go ahead and invade it right away. Now, if the Ukraine does the unwise step of declaring war, I anticipate that within hours that Russia would invade the Ukraine. They've already got the overall military hardware and capability to do it. It won't take them long to do it, but there will be a an actual confrontation inside of the Ukraine. But Russia will invade and take over the Ukraine. And then now, that's when they're going to plead with for NATO support and the U.S. support in pushing Russia back out. And this is where, remember, the USS Cole went dead in the water in the Black Sea. Russia is not going to play with any overall foreign military at the Black Sea. They can't, because whoever controls the Black Sea actually controls the Russian Navy. They're not going to allow that overall space. And I definitely think that the U.S. will run a naval armada to the Black Sea. And in the meantime, Russia will invade to get strategical positioning in the Ukraine, and then there will be a naval engagement. And there will be a NATO engagement on the ground in that overall area. That overall spark will turn into a full-blown confrontation, hot war confrontation, and it will extend to the Black Sea and outside of the Black Sea. And once that happens, all bets are completely off. You're talking about all-out war. All-out war. And it is going to happen. It is going to happen. So, a couple of things real quickly just to give you an update in what's happening. So, there's an article out of Sputnik News. Let's do this one. Let's do the RT one really quickly. So, I gave you some basis of as to what happened. But, uh-oh. Okay, so now let me just so I'm just looking at some updated stuff in this whole thing. All right, so now China's involved, Germany is involved, and Austria is involved. Listen, we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. Thank you, Scotty, for letting me know, because I was looking, I wasn't on the board. So listen, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. Scotty, give me 2 minutes, and then we'll come back, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Kando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Well, I won't see you in queue, but just say excuse me. Very significant event, and so significant that it's really a wartime situation. And just before we went to the break, Scotty had posted something, to put something in the chat room that's so true. It says, international trade has always been reliant on ports. Remember, we gave you the chronological order, how you get into a major global war. And part of it is a currency war that turns into a trade war, then turns into a shooting war. And that is so true, what Scotty said. Many wars have been fought over control of ports since man started shipping goods via ship. Right. This incident, this includes victims of slavery. Absolutely right. Yes. So true. And this is why this thing is not going to go away. They keep instigating an event to where it gets to a point where you don't want the overall event to give away strategical, critical importance in maintaining. So the Russians are only going to sit by for so long. And I think that they're ready to move. They've already have developed themselves to be able to engage the U.S. And that engagement, in my opinion, is definitely here at hand and going to happen. So really quickly, just as we were going to, I wanted to check out some of the things that's what's going on. And Germany and China are trying to diffuse the overall tensions. Austria is involved as well. And there's the key, China and Germany. And so this in itself, and I'll just say the Russian embassy inside of the Ukraine was firebombed as well, which you can expect that of. To happen. So that's just some of, want to see anything else that's there. Okay, so now there's a one second, let me see and all of this is happening now at the exact same time that we have to be mindful of. Also over the weekend was the overall incident in Syria, another chemical weapons use. Chlorine gas was used. And actually, Russia actually said that this was going to be happening. And lo and behold, it did happen. And so the Russians have actually carried out airstrikes on the U.S.-supported groups that's there that's using chemical weapons and trying to create a UN humanitarian crisis and blaming Syria and the Russians for that. The Russians actually bombed and destroyed a significant cache of chemical weapons, but chemical weapons have now been used in Idlib, in Aleppo, and I expect them to be used in Idlib as well. Syria is igniting The Ukraine is igniting, and all under that same pretense that the border, the U.S. border, is igniting. This is no coincidence in my overall estimation at all. And it's the reason that we need to give be fully prepared from what can happen from that. And it's no coincidence that the Chinese celebrity figurehead president is running around the overall globe making deals, as the Russians are as well. And the deals that they are being made are significant. We're going to carry some of that. So, but before we do that, over the weekend, even Cerebrally Naive Network reported a chemical weapons attack, chlorine gas, but of course they're blaming the Syrian government. But Syria and Russia said, no, it was the actual U.S.-supported rebels that did this. And so it's going to come to a point where they're going to say, enough of this. We see what this set off is setting off. Russia knows the overall what the U.S. is trying to do, and NATO is trying to do, is trying to encircle them, and they're not going to let that happen. Now, as we speak now, there is major assets from Israel, the Israeli Air Force assets that are in the air now, and those individual aircrafts may actually attempt, in my opinion, may attempt a strike on Iranian positions and Syrian positions inside of Syria that is under the protection of the S-300 system. And so I wouldn't be surprised if there's going to be U.S. presence of aircraft involved at the same time. It's all what we're having is we're having a wildfire start to blow out in the Eastern Europe that's going into the Middle East and is going to spread into the continent of Africa and then jump off in the overall Korean peninsula, and then we'll actually jump off in the South Sea of China and South America and then Central and the North America as well. It's all coming into full fruition as well as in Europe. So that's happening as we speak. So there was an actual chlorine attack that's there, and I put the overall article there. Significant thing. And I'm going to get to what happened on the border as well. But a significant thing before I get into that is that the articles. So article that you we must two articles that we must take a look at right now. It's extremely significant. Here they are. You got this from Press TV. India's Navy chief in Russia despite U.S. warnings. India's Navy chief on Monday, today, was to start a three-day visit to Russia where he will hold talks with Russian officials on expanding bilateral military relations. Despite a looming threat of sanctions by the United States, which has consistently warned New Delhi against military transactions with Moscow, the admiral will arrive in St. Petersburg. And let me tell you why that's so important, St. Petersburg. Because St. Petersburg is where celebrity figurehead Vladimir Putin is from and cut his teeth in the KGB, where he is scheduled to hold wide-range talks with his Russian counterpart, the admiral. He will also meet a number of top military officials to consolidate bilateral defense relationships with Russia, as also to explore new avenues of defense cooperation. A spokesman of the Indian Navy captain said, the Indian Navy chief visit to Russia follows a visit by Russian President Vladimir Putin to India, where he signed a $5 billion deal with the Indian Prime Minister Modi to provide New Delhi with Russian S-400 air defense systems. The Russian-built S-400 is capable of intercepting and destroying airborne targets at a distance of up to 400 kilometers and simultaneously engaging six targets. Russia is expected to deliver the first missiles systems to India by the end of 2020. I think that the overall shipments of the overall S-400s are already in country in India. I have no proof of that, but with the way the war situation is going, that is probably already there. Do you think that it's a coincidence that the day that the Indian naval chief is meeting with Russia to establish and to consolidate bilateral defense relationships, do you think that that's a coincidence with what's going on in Crimea and the Ukraine? Absolutely not. The article goes on. Back in September, India has also earlier received warnings from the U.S. in Washington against buying the Russians weapons. Based on domestic law, the U.S. administrative imposed sanctions on third countries that transaction with Russia defense or intelligence sectors. Back in September, in the administration of the United States President Donald Trump issued a warning that buying such an advanced system would be considered a significant transaction and that there could be implications. India, the top buyer of the Russian arms, however, seems to have ignored the U.S. threat. A former financial advisor on defense acquisition from India's defense ministry said India could not afford to distance itself from Moscow. Stop right there. India could not afford to distance itself from Moscow. It didn't say that India couldn't afford to distance itself from Washington. And years ago when we started this program, I said in the BRIC nations, Brazil, India, Russia, and China, the key to the overall how long it will take for the U.S. to be defeated at war, it depends on where India lies. And I wasn't sure. I knew by them being a part of BRIC nations, I knew that they already had made that great move and that they signaled that they were going to choose Russia and China in that. But I didn't know if that they may change. And now I absolutely, well, we still don't know, but the overall advent of the overall unfolding of the events is showing that they cannot break this, they can't afford to distance itself from Moscow. Done deal. Article goes on. And I've always said that that was critical. That shows you where we were in the speed of this war that's going to happen. Russia and China are ready for a full-on military confrontation with the U.S. because they know they've already won. The war has already been fought and already been surrendered. Now it's just going to play itself out. The article goes on. And that there is no reason for India to buckle under the U.S. pressure to roll back procurement of hardware from Russia, not just the S-400, but they are consolidating themselves completely. Apparently, the article goes on, apparently the India's defense establishment is convinced that the S-400 system is ideally suited to fit its critical gap in our existing capabilities, he said. New Delhi also plans to seal a new 10-year framework with Russia to manufacture and upgrade at least a dozen type of Russian armament systems in the country, including fighter jets, artillery guns, and rocket launchers. China and Turkey have also signed S-400 purchases agreement with Russia. Turkey, a NATO member, is due to receive its S-400 system next year and expected to have the system ready for use by 2020. Once again, I think it's already in Turkey, all ready to go. The U.S. has already imposed sanctions against China's military for buying the Russian-made missile system. No coincidence at all. Now you also have Russia and India holding military drills in India. The assets are already strategically placed, ready for war. Ready for war. And the sides have already been decided. And, oops, let me. These are the things that you aren't being told in mainstream media that you need to know, because the overall significance of them are great. Extremely significant. Anytime you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. To move on, here's what's significant as well, from Press TV as well. China and Japan signed 24 deals amidst trade war with the U.S. Basically, Japan doesn't care about the trade war or the sanctions, but here's the biggest one. Here's the most significant one. Celebrity figurehead Prime Minister of Japan, Abe, has reportedly assured celebrity figurehead President, Russian President Vladimir Putin, that if the Kremlin hands over four disputed islands in the Western Pacific to Japan, they would not be subjected to a U.S. military presence. Wait a minute. So Japan is making deals with China. What do you think those deals are engaging? They're military deals as well. Remember, China offered them the ability to be a part of the overall founding members in the Asian Development Bank. The AIIB, Asian Infrastructure Development Bank, AIIB, sorry. Asian Investment Infrastructure, I forgot what it is, AAIB stands for. But they offered them, Taiwan, the Philippines, they offered all of those, China offered all of those countries to be founders inside of that overall AAIB. Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. Thank you, Dave. Asian Infrastructure Investment Banking. Infrastructure investment. That means that they know that there's going to be a distortion of major, major infrastructure around the world, and Asia is going to provide the overall funding to rebuild it. And China offered Japan and Taiwan. And Taiwan took the deal, and I think China took the deal as well. Australia actually took the deal as well, but they now are trying to cover like they didn't, but they did. But now Japan is making deals with China and with Russia. The Chinese and Japan are arch enemies going back for centuries, but they realize that big business has a way of making enemies friendly. And Japan has never thought, in my opinion, they never forgot about the overall weapons of mass destruction that was used as an act of terror to pummel them when they've already surrendered the war. Japan was trying to surrender in World War II to the U.S. way before. They didn't want them to use the overall nuclear bombs on them, so they knew that they just went ahead and surrendered. But the U.S. said, no, we're going to string this out until we could drop those two bombs, which was the greatest act of terrorism ever known on this planet in modern times. But people are too afraid to admit the truth. Japan has now made deals. Here it is. Abe and Putin agreed to a summit meeting in Singapore on Wednesday that they will accelerate peace talks based on the 1956 joint declaration with the former Soviet Union, in which Moscow pledged to hand over two smaller of the four islands of Tokyo to Tokyo following a formalized peace treaty between the two countries. Japan media reported on Friday. And that was last Friday. The disputed islands are known in Japan as the Northern Territories and referred to in Russia as the Southern Islands. They have strategic value for Moscow and guarantee Russian maritime access to the Western Pacific. So Russia is not going to give up this overall deal unless Japan is fully, fully aligned with them militarily, just like India is. I anticipate Germany, France, Turkey, Mexico, Japan, Spain, Portugal, Argentina to all be a part of BRIC nations relatively soon. The article goes on. Japan has long insisted that its sovereignty over the four islands must be confirmed prior to signing a peaceful treaty with Russia. However, any treaty involvement transfer of sovereignty of the islands to Japan will also have to address how the U.S.-Japan Security Treaty, which remains the core of Japan's diplomacy, would affect the overall agreement and whether Washington would have the right to build military bases on the island. According to Japan's newspaper, Abe assured Putin during the overall Singapore meetings that Washington would not erect military bases on the two smaller islands, therefore further noting that the prime minister's top security advisor had previously stated U.S. bases on the isles was a possibility. Japan's chief cabinet secretary refused to comment on the report. Earlier this month, the U.S. Ronald Reagan aircraft took part in joint military exercises with Japan involving a dozen of U.S. and Japanese ships and hundreds of aircrafts. The latest drill, which coincided with the visit to the region by the U.S. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence, comes as Washington's denuclearization talks with North Korea appears to have reached a deadlock. Pence also attended the summit of Asian Association of South Asian Nations, ASEAN, leaders in Singapore on Thursday. So Japan met with Putin on Friday, and then ASEAN meetings was in Singapore on that Thursday, and insisted that there's no place for empire aggression in the Indo-Pacific region, in his remark apparently aimed at China. Like you, we seek Indo-Pacific in which all nations, large and small, can prosper and thrive and secure our sovereignty, confidence, and values in growing stronger together. We all agree that empires and aggressions have no place in the Indo-Pacific arena, Pence added. See, here's what was key about that. Security and secure our sovereignty and confidence in our values and growing stronger together. So the U.S. is claiming sovereignty there. It's not going to happen. All of this, and we played some of this with Mike Pence has said about China, all of this is unfolding right now. Now China is also establishing ties with Japan militarily. While Japan is now going to decide what it's going to do with Okinawa, the military base is there. The U.S. can ill afford to lose that base. So the U.S. knows that it's losing its influence everywhere, so it's going to have a mass bum rush before it continues to lose position. Because China and Russia are going around the world making deals. And these deals are engagement of what? Relationships with them and not with the U.S. Military alliance and cooperation, as was said between India, consolidation. China and Russia is going around consolidating economic, geopolitical, and military ties. All at the overall taking from the overall dollar hegemony, the U.S. Economic hegemony, and its overall military aggression. All of these nations have a qualm, have a beef with the U.S. colonization. And now the chicken is coming home to roots in a very, very defined way. And I don't see it slowing down. I only see it speeding up. Extremely, extremely significant. Now, before we go into the commercial break, also, you have the south of the border, U.S. border, now taking a significant change. There's going to be clashes and confrontations that is going to be there. And it is unfolding in that overall manner. There's going to be a theme of martial law that is going to go all over the world. And it's going to go to the continental U.S. as well. Things are going to change. The overall stress on the military is going to be so overburdened that they will quickly realize that they snapped and can't control it all. And when people snap and can't control things, they lose it. And when they lose it, you have no clue how people are going to respond. And that's what's really here and happening. Listen, we're getting ready to go to a commercial. When we come back out of the commercial, Scotty, give me 2 minutes in the commercial as well. When we come out of the commercial, take a look at one other thing, and then we need to really take a look at really you preparing and why you need to prepare. And we know that that's always been our theme, but now it's moved into a position to where your sovereignty is going to be what you're trying to save, your self-determination. So it's imperative that you take this approach. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Try to give me 2 minutes. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, please don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Is the call-in number. Would love to hear from you. And so we're going to pick back up right away now. We're starting to see why the overall expansion of the naval fleets is happening, because it's the war is really here. And so, but I want to talk about some things that are significant to give you some thoughts. Now, at the same time that there is that going on down in the south of the border. Remember that you've seen, I've actually played it where you can, you actually seen it and posted it inside of Tando Radio Show spot inside of BTR community. You could see where the overall military hardware, tanks were being moved, artillery was being moved to the south of the border. That's not anything that you move and use for overall crowd control, okay? That's overall war apparatus, and that's overall in assets that you use in a ground confrontation. And all of that hardware was moving there. Also, I posted just after Thanksgiving, where the one YouTuber posted down by New Orleans, all of the overall tanks and armored personnel carriers that was being moved through New Orleans. Now, I don't know that area well, but I'm taking his word for it. He said it was as far as the eye can see. He gave the overall proof, put it there, posted it there, and he says, as far as the eye can see, it's overall tanks everywhere, and they're going to New Orleans, to the port of New Orleans, for deployment. The actual assets have been redeployed everywhere around the world. Here's the significance apart about that. I don't think it's a coincidence that the overall caravan, which I think is a psyops, has actually reached the overall border in the U.S. And the significance of that is that now that is turning hostile and is going to continue to turn hostile, because we are going to have martial law by way of this war and by way of these instances that are going to actually prevail. The Ukraine is the start of the first martial law. And I wouldn't be surprised in that overall engagement with the Ukraine, when the U.S. and and the Russia's military and rebel forces itself actually meet the Ukrainian military and their overall supporters and the U.S. support there, that overall confrontation, that there could be a tactical nuclear device that's used in that overall space. And when that happens, ladies and gentlemen, the overall martial law will be invoked in the U.S. All of the military hardware has already been dispersed into the U.S. and they hid it under civilian law enforcement's cloak and part and partial. And posse comitatus is just something that's on a piece of paper. It doesn't mean anything. Your creed and your deeds have to go hand in hand. The creed is not in line with the deeds. Posse comitatus is gone. There's actual article that we posted from the Military Time. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, I've actually been reading about what's going on at the border. I'm confused about how this is a psyops and who is supposed to be against. I see it as legitimate peasants or victims of U.S. foreign policy making a political statement. And under international law, they should be allowed to apply for asylum. That's part of international law. That came about after a lot of these countries, including the U.S., would not take the victims of the German Nazis. And that's how so many people got killed. Nobody was allowed. So under international law, people have a right to travel. You might even call that a sovereign right to travel anywhere on the planet. But the actual U.S. active duty troops, all they did was go down there and string up some carcentine wire, barbed wire, and what have you, and they left. They've been drawn down, those troops. What's happening right now is civil. It's the federal border, what they call them? I forget. Border patrol, whatever their actual
border patrol
name is.
Mm-hmm.
Federal police, as well as local police and what have you. So, and that's caused some of the people just trying to rush the border. That could be anybody. And so, you know, they've been deploying tear gas. But it's starting to look like, and I hope it don't turn out to be something that, like what's happening with the Palestinians on their march called Right to Return to the property that was stolen from them by the state of Israel. I hope they don't shoot none of them people and what have you, but Trump is violating even U.S. law, man. He's escalated this whole situation. He doesn't have to be referring to these people as an invasion or denying them the legal process of applying for asylum. He's escalating it by not adhering to, you know, proper protocol and just feeding to his WWE base.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. And now, I posted the inside of an answer because this is how I see it as a
PSYOP. I forgot. The main reason I was chiming in, one of the U.S. military commanders said that that's all the active duty can do is string up wire and you know, barriers and stuff like that. They are not authorized to make any kind of arrest. So it would have to be a declaration of martial law for them to be able to make arrest at the border.
Right. And remember, the celebrity figurehead signed last week the authorization for them to use lethal force, because that's what they intend for them to do. And I say that this is a PSYOP. Yes, all of the things that you said were true. It's a PSYOP from this standpoint, is that this is how they're going to be able to emotionally get it much easier to invoke martial law throughout this country. Because it's really not, they're using that overall situation as a ways and means to get the overall breaking down of posse comitatus even more ingrained in the general population. Posse comitatus was broken the moment that, it wasn't broken just recently, it was broken years and years ago, and they continue to build on that. There was an article that out of Military Times, constitutional questions emerges about the expanding role of troops on U.S. soil. But here's the problem with that. Here's the major problem with that, and this is why I say it's the PSYOPs. If you look at the current 2018 that just came out in October, the defense support for civilian authorities, and it's JP 328 put out by the Department of Defense. It clearly states in this overall engagement that posse comitatus is null and void, and has been null and void for a very, very long time. And how they engage this is critical. Also, there was an article says U.S. military power grab goes into effect. And this was from May the 14th of 2013 that was put out by the Long Island Post. And in the Long Island Post, I'm going to read this, and this is a significant thing because this is what it does. Pentagon unilaterally grants itself authority over civil disturbance. This is why this is a PSYOP, because they created the environment for this to be a civil disturbance so that they could destroy posse comitatus. Here's what the Defense Support of Civilian Law Enforcement Agency says under the U.S. Code. And it's titled Defense Support for Civilian Law Enforcement Agencies. Under this code, there's a section, and is under the emergency authority in the second chapter, under emergency chapter 2, emergency authorities. This is the one that was put out in 2018, just 2 months ago, actually a month and a half ago in October. Okay? Well, really, it's really a month ago. Right? Last month. Here's what it says, verbatim. I'm going to read it. Information on this immediate response authority, CDOD 3025.18, Defense Support of Civilian Authority, known as DSCA. B, Emergency Authority. Emergency Authority is a federal... Emergency authority is a federal military commander's authority. Let me stop right there. A federal military commander's authority. If you know what that means, a federal military commander's, a commander of a company, a CO of a company is a commander in military authority. Goes on. In an extraordinary emergency circumstance, where prior authorization by the president is impossible and dual constitutional local authorities are unable to control the situation. Let me stop there. What are they saying? If they can't reach the president, if the president can't be reached to make a decision, and the governor or whomever under posse comitatus who has the overall chain of authority, if they are unable to control the situation, it goes on to engage a temporary in activity that are necessary to quell a large-scale unexpected civil disturbance, because such activities are necessary to prevent significant loss of life or to wander destruction of property, and are necessary to restore governmental functions and public orders or duty constitutional federal, state, local, territorial, or tribal authorities are unable or decline to provide adequate protection for federal property or federal government functions, responsible DOD, Department of Defense officials and commanders will use all available means to seek presidential authority through the chain of command while applying their emergency authority. Emergency authority shall not be confused with immediately responsible authority. Excuse me. Emergency authority will not be confused with immediate response authority. Federal forces acting under immediate response authority are still bound by PCA, Posse Comitatus Act, and may not participate directly in law enforcement, whereas emergency authority and actions taken under the Insurgents Act are exempt to Posse Comitatus. So what did they say in that whole thing? This is what was just put out, and this is why this thing is a psyop. They basically said if they can't find the president and the president can't make a decision, why wouldn't the president be able to make a decision? What could be so important that the president is dealing with that they can't make a decision? How about they're engaging in a war with Russia and China? How about this? If the governor of that overall state, who has authority with posse comitatus that prevents the overall military to acting as engaging in law enforcement with the police, if that governor can't, as it says here, if the president and due local authorities are unable to control the situation. Here's the case in point. If you have military personnel on the ground already there, and the overall local civilian law enforcement personnel or chain of command up to the governor and the president of the United States can't control the situation, a company commander, as just being a military commander, has the authority to take over that situation temporarily to do what's necessary to stop it. And what does that mean? That means that he can use lethal force by his overall troops that are there. That's there. Now, the key thing here is they say temporary. Well, let me tell you something about temporary. Temporary is subjective. Temporary can mean 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 2 hours, 40 hours, 2 weeks, 100 years. I remember when they said temporary closure of the overall Cyprus banks for only 3 days. 2.5 years later, they opened the bank. They still never removed the term temporary. What you basically have here is that through a civilian, unexpected civil disturbance, a large scale, in order to quell that overall large scale, unexpected civil disturbance, the military is now the de facto ruling party in decision making in this, the United States. This is a military coup. Nothing short of that. Let me tell you why there's nothing short of that. Do you know Germany and Weimar Republic, the Nazis instituted this exact same policy, almost to the letter and to the T. And they used it. The U.S. is going to use this. Why would they change Posse Comitatus, and why would they change the overall ability of the U.S. military to circumvent Posse Comitatus? Because they plan on doing it. This is why your local police departments have armored personnel carriers. This is why their overall rules of engagements have changed. How are you bringing weapons that will be able to kill large scales of people, and you're not engaging in crowd control? You're actually engaging in nullifying and killing people. It's a different thing. Scotty, you wanted to chime in.
Yeah, I agree that it was a psyop. Donald Trump admitted that this was an election campaign psyop to scare people up to vote for Republicans who are pretty much anti-immigration, especially except for if those people are from European countries, meaning white.
Right.
So he admitted to that. So I agree. The whole deployment of the military was a political stunt by the commander-in-chief using that office. Now, what I got from what you read is, if there's a civil war, when they talk about insurgency, that's what they talking about. They talking about a civil war. They're talking about people picking up arms, attacking U.S. installations, probably military bases. You would have to. And then they could be activated. That makes common sense to me. But also, you know, that's one of the things the commander of those troops that it was just 5,000 that was deployed to the border said they can't make arrests. And they've started drawing down. For those things to come about, not to be able to get to the president, that means he's dead. I don't see him being engaged. The U.S. is constantly engaged in wars, whether they be cold wars or shooting wars or proxy wars. So I don't see us, not us. When I say us, I mean U.S., the U.S. government, engaged in a hot war with Russia. Why would you not be able to contact the president because of that? You know, with all of you know, because I worked in communications, man. They would always be able to contact them. And then the governor. That sounds like civil war. That sounds like an insurgency. That sounds like the American Civil War, when the rebels attacked Fort Sumner and the Confederates. So that's what it sound like to me. That's my opinion on it. Thanks.
Yeah, I got you, Scotty. My approach on that is that very easily not be able to find the president. And I don't think that it's because this is marked as civil disturbance. It's not marked as an insurrection. This is civil disturbance from that has changed and has grown in landscape, and it's very easy that you can't find the president or the governor. Very, very easy. When the USS Ronald Reagan just recently went into port inside of Hong Kong, immediately when the Reagan had docked inside of Hong Kong this past week, immediately in the surrounding areas, how about this? All Japanese cars and other cars, their doors locked and the overall people weren't able to get into their cars. All of their cell phones went dead. So what happened when Ronald Reagan came in, and this is reported and this is what happened, this is the capabilities. Communications can be very easily severed. And especially when you have events that are unfolding like wildfire.
That's civilian communications, Dave. That's civilian communications, not military. I worked in the U.S. Army's largest signal battalion, which signal just simply means communication. I'm sending a signal.
True.
Again, man, there's no way. Unless he's dead, that's the only way that the military wouldn't be able to communicate with the commander-in-chief, man. You got microwave, you got the internet, which was designed for nuclear war.
I agree, Scotty.
There's no way, man.
But it also can be used as an excuse. It can very be easily used as an excuse, because if they are engaged in an overall major military confrontation with China and Russia, because of this overall, and it's labeled as unexpected civil disturbance, right? And because of that, the overall troops, you're already in a state of martial law because of the war that has started. This overall war isn't going to be like any confrontation that the U.S. has ever been in World War I or World War II, because they're going to be fighting a formidable foe that has means and capabilities that they've never seen or been able to deal with ever before. And the overall infrastructure that they have has never been tested the way that it's going to be tested. So it's going to give the overall appearance and the ability and a plausible deniability to say that, hey, a company commander can all of a sudden declare martial law from the standpoint that they are now the decision maker. And once the military does that, what makes us think that they'll ever give that back, even though it says temporary? So this whole thing was not designed for – this was designed for the military taking over with the overall the civilian law enforcement's duties were. This has nothing to do with the overall combat field or for insurrection or for an invasion. This has everything to do with law enforcement and them taking over that. That's what this was written for. And they wrote it because they're going to use it.
Well, I think they should invoke it. Really, to be honest with you, the way that the U.S. government acts unconstitutionally and always right. violating international law and then still practicing slavery, the military should invoke that and put these people on trial for human rights violations. So, again, you know, I'm not so down on the U.S. military, because I was in the U.S. military and I know plenty of people who have children in the U.S. military, and we are the U.S. military. Those are children, okay? Those are relatives. So they were all those troops would have to go along with the military.
But we're not the military, because if we were the military, we wouldn't be supporting.
Our family members.
Without a doubt, it is our family members. Definitely.
So are our family members that corrupt? Think about anybody you know in the military. Do you think they that corrupt that they would violate
absolutely,
their oaths
Scotty,
against
I,
all
yes,
enemies?
Scotty, I absolutely do.
I don't. Here's I maybe some, but and, not and all. Think, That's why it'll be a civil war.
I think
war.
You'll see why. Because I was in the military, and I was a police officer. And everybody that was in law enforcement was U.S. citizens.
So I could get that paperwork printed out. They were U.S. citizens, and you know what they carried out? They carried out things
that they shouldn't have been carrying out.
Like what?
And doing an and they would be people, and you can see unauthorized use of force that up to murder. They'll absolutely do it, because
those are human beings
of thoughts in this country.
But that's not everybody though. And I was in the military for 6 years and went to several different bases. And everybody that I worked with were decent, moral people. And we were even questioning among ourselves, if we were called out to the L.A. riots, who we going to shoot? We going to shoot our people, or we going to shoot the man who gave us the order? That was my mindset and the mindset of my comrades when I was in the military.
But, Scotty, not everyone has that mindset.
I agree, everyone doesn't have that mindset. That's why it'll break down to a civil war.
Yep. Very, very true. That could be the spot. And so,
hey, can you hear me, Dave?
Yeah, go ahead, Keith.
Hey, you know, I have to say, because, you know, the thing is, and we see it all the time, you have what you call a mob mentality. And I'm not saying that the military is a mob, but you can do it with any organization you want. And once you get into that culture, that changes people's behavior, especially when they have to take a stand against the majority. You know, so you're definitely going to have the people that's refuses to participate in some of the hardcore things, like who you're going to shoot. I'm not shooting those people. You see that with the police department. And what I mean by that is, when you look at all the shootings, if you look at the number of shootings that involve black police officers, they're much, 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 much less than their white counterparts. But even with that being the case, you don't see them removing themselves out of that community. So I hear what Scotty's saying, but on a whole, it's just very difficult to do.
On the standpoint of war, though, would you rather they remove themselves from that force? Then we wouldn't know what was coming down the pipe. They wouldn't be there to tell us what's coming down the pipe or what they're planning, or even to shoot them in the head. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, while I'm not proud of my military service, I do see the need for people to be in the military. You know what I'm saying? Our people in the military. Yeah, we have to infiltrate them just like they infiltrate our communities.
Yeah, and I think what happens with our military is that it's been used in such a way, and they've actually, and part of getting the military to be vulnerable to this is that first you got to get them in large scale confrontation where they can start to compromise their morality. I'm gonna tell you, at Ferguson, if there were shots fired from those crowds towards those police officers would have returned fire. Some of those police officers would have returned fire indiscriminately, trying to so-called hit a target, but they would have, because what happened was that they would lay the overall seed for overall iniquity. And Scotty's right. This is talking about a civil war. This can move into a civil war. And politics is a big thing in that, and that's the overall mantra. They have this agenda. They've been successful in taking countries down in the past. And there is nothing different. Let me tell you, this country has been laid out nicely on paper, but it never lives up. Its creed never lives up to its deed. Its deed is always, always the worst that you can possibly think of. And so, until we realize that and understand what we're challenged with, I don't think individuals such as my cousin and Scotty's family that will do that. But those individuals may actually already been identified and segregated to go somewhere else. We don't know. Could they do that? Absolutely. And if they could do it, what makes you think that they wouldn't? And it's very, it's a difficult situation. But they changed Posse Comitatus for a reason. Because they plan on an environment that will be there that will invoke the use of that, and they'll be ready. They will absolutely be ready. So that's just, my thought. And I'm not repeating anything. Making any of this stuff up is right here for us all. We got to know these things. The decision is yours, and I hope that we invoke something in you that says, wait a minute, yes or no, have a overall stance. And I'm going to post the overall, and you could actually read it. I'll post it inside of, I think I did already, put it inside of Tando, our page there. Read what it says and make your own decision and what it really, really means. And it's to read the emergency part of the defense support of civilian authority. See, that's the whole thing. Defense support of civilian authority. Read the emergency part in chapter 2. They put it on paper because that's what they want to support, and that's what they do. And they hide it all. The devil is always in the details. You got to read this whole thing all the way through and realize what's really, really, what they're really, really saying. So, and I agree with you. There's no way in the world that you can't have this happen without some major, major pushback. But that's how we get to the untied states of America. It really does happen. So, all right, y'all. We got to get out of here. Much love, much respect. Thanks to Scotty for chiming in. Love it. Pastor Key, thank you. Thank you all for listening. And once again, won't be on air the rest of the week. I have to prepare for a presentation. I got to travel, so I won't be back until next Sunday, but I will be on air Monday. Please watch what's going on here in the Ukraine. Hopefully it does not extend into, but I definitely know that everything is building, is building, is building. And when they do, one of the things about here in the States is that we've never, ever been in a wartime scenario from a geopolitical, military standpoint with countries, and definitely ones that can defend themselves and have an offensive response to everything. Wait till they turn the lights out. That will cause for a unique civil disturbance event that could go everywhere. So big situations, and they are, and I want you to be prepared. So much love, much respect. There's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.